heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Yesterday, an interview with Ladd Allen of Illustra Media. Today, live with your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Ladd Allen's interview was important to me because his origin is an incredible film. It is Unlocking the Mysteries of Life, and again, titled Origin. But this is, as I've said so many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, not just an apologetic issue, it is the apologetic issue, because how one views their origins will ultimately determine how they live their life. And that's why I am so incredibly excited about our friends at Illustria Media, because once again, they've outdone themselves. This is a top drawer scholarship with stunning artistry in what is destined to be a classic. We'll be talking about this film years from now, just as we talked about Metamorphosis and Flight and many of the other films that are produced by Illustria Media. If you don't have it, get it. It is available for those who support the ministry with their gifts all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org, or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember our wonderful resource consultants. They're standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. This weekend, I was in Cambodia, Phnom Penh. I've always wanted to go there, a lot of reasons, not the least of which is that this was once one of the most prosperous cultures in all of Asia. I still remember Lee Kuan Yew, who was the father of Singapore. Long before Singapore became the envy of the world, Lee Kuan Yew went to Cambodia. He saw it as a paradise. He saw it as the very prototype of what he wanted to develop in Singapore. At the time, Singapore was just a sandbar at the tip of Malaysia. So he looks at Cambodia in the early 60s, and he sees this paradise. But what happened to Cambodia is very, very interesting. It really underscores what Lee Kuan Yew said, that all civilization is essentially fragile. Because while Singapore went from third world to first world, Cambodia has gone from first world to third world. Many people listening to me at this point remember the Khmer Rouge and the genocide that took place between 1975 and 1979, a great example of how ideas have consequences. Pol Pot had a grand socialist experiment in mind, social engineering, that led to the deaths of some 2 million people. And while I was in Cambodia this weekend, I saw the skulls, millions of them, skulls and bones. I went, in fact, to Tol Sleng prison, where thousands were chained and tortured. And then they were sent to killing fields, highly organized assembly lines of death. It is simply incredible to think about a social experiment that takes the lives of millions and millions of people. There are over 200 detention camps and over 500 killing fields. This is a very small country. You think about 2 million people, the country at the time probably had no more than 6 million people. Today, it has around 15 million people. The other thing that's interesting and I think worthy of note is that this is a largely Buddhist culture. Perhaps more than 95% of the people are Buddhist. And so I think about something else. I think of millions and millions of people today trapped in a culture of Buddhism, which really does not offer the right hope. And I cannot help but think that CRI has a role to play in Cambodia, as in the rest of Asia, because we do have the truth. And we're equipped to use the deviations of Buddhism as opportunities to share the gospel. I mean, there were attempts to do this during the French colonial period that lasted from 1863 to 1953. But you go to Phnom Penh and walk the streets there today, and you see no traces of Christianity. It's virtually non-existent. There are some works there, but they're minimal. And so we have this opportunity in this generation to reach people who have faced incredible torment. I met one man, he was one of the lone survivors, Chum Meng, and I actually spoke with him. I had an opportunity to get to know him a little bit. Took some pictures with him and communicated how touched I was by a book that he had written called Survivor. Again, he was one of a handful of survivors. But still, he has no real answer to why what happened happened. And he has no real hope in resurrection because he believes in the Buddhist notion of reincarnation. Buddhism, of course, is a historical offshoot of Hinduism, and it teaches people to seek refuge in what is called the triple jewel, Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. This triple gem is a way of finding refuge in Buddha, in Buddhist teachings, and in Buddhist priests, or the community of Buddhism. And what Buddhism teaches, essentially, is that all life is suffering, that the suffering of the source of suffering is desire and attachment, and that liberation from suffering is ultimately found in the elimination of desire, and desire is eliminated by following an eightfold path. So they have four noble truths that lead to an eightfold path, but the essence of Buddhism is that you hope you can erase karmic debt, achieve nirvanic realization of no self, and attain liberation from suffering and escaping this endless cycle of life, death, and rebirth that we call the horror of reincarnation. In sharp contrast to this kind of teaching, Christians teach that, yes, we must eliminate desire, but the Bible teaches that we must exercise disciplines in order to transform our desires. So it's really not that we'll ever eliminate them in this world. We'll transform our desires, but ultimately elimination comes through resurrection. So there are commonalities that you can use as springboards or opportunities, and I had the opportunity to do just that with Buddhists. One Buddhist, as I was standing before the great temple of Buddha in Phnom Penh. Another opportunity to do that as I stood before the Grand Palace of the King. But you see a culture that is a very corrupt culture, but the greatest need, the most pressing need, is to reach people with the truths of Christianity that will liberate not only individuals, but are liberating for a culture as a whole. Well, much more could be said about Cambodia, but I simply want to whet your appetite for what we're doing around the world and why it is so important for people to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Also, a reminder that CRI's work of equipping and encouraging fellow believers to stand for life and truth simply could not continue without this core support team that we talk about when we talk about CRI support team. Support team members undergird and strengthen every one of CRI's 24/7 outreaches. They equip fellow believers here at home and around the globe. And we, quite frankly, need to add at least 30 new support team members by the end of this month and 30 more by the end of the year. So to become a member of CRI's support team and help change our world, go to equip.org or simply call us at 888-7000 CRI. That's 888-7000-274. A lot of you hanging on. The number to call, 888-ASK-HANK, again, numerically 888-275-4265. Let's go to Warren first. He's listening in Wake Forest, North Carolina, WTRU. Hi, Warren.
Hey, good afternoon, or good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great, thanks for taking the call. I've got a quick question, and then I'll drop off and listen to you on the radio here. I'm driving.
Sure.
There are times when I speak with folks that will have a loved one that passed, and it says in Scripture that when we're Christian, if absent from the body, that we're present with the Lord. And then they'll also ask, well, I'm confused, because Scripture also says that in the second coming, that when Christ returns, that the dead will rise, and he will take those and the believers with him to heaven. And my comment has always been, I'm not as concerned about when, just that I am going to be in heaven. But I get confused on how to actually answer that question for him. So if you could help, I would greatly appreciate it.
Sure, love to. You know, I wrote a book called Afterlife, and in that book I point out that there's life after life, and there's also life after life after life, which is to say that there's life after life in the sense that when we die, prior to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ or a second appearing, we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. But that is a temporary condition. When Jesus appears a second time, the soul then will reunite with a resurrected body. The body will be resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And then we will be what we have been intended to be, which is we're going to be completely perfected. We will be as we would have been had sin and never entered the world. I've written about it some detail again in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. You can find the book on the web. It's available for your gift, equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jason, Nashville, Tennessee. Jason's listening on Bod Radio. Hi.
Hey, Hank. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Love your show, and just really appreciate everything that you do.
Thank you.
Question that I have for you, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, if you could do me a favor and just help enlighten me as what is really going on, who is Jesus really speaking about, I just really like that. I've read commentaries and listened to sermons, but it still hasn't clicked with me yet.
Yeah, well, you know, a famous part of the Sermon on the Mount, I remember many years ago memorizing the Sermon on the Mount and certainly pondering the very question that you ask. And I've often thought as I contemplate this passage that Jesus may have had in mind Judas himself. Judas, who was part of Christ's inner circle, was there not because he loved the master, but because he loved what was on the master's table. So when you look at this passage in context, what does Jesus say? Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. And then he says, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. And then those absolutely chilling words, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I'll tell them, I never knew you. away from you, evildoers. So what do you have here? You have people who have a said faith rather than people who have a real faith. People who come to the master's table as Judas did, was part of the inner circle, not because he loved Jesus, but he loved all that Jesus could do for him in a temporary way. Jesus, of course, is not calling us to a kingdom on this earth. He's calling us to an eternal kingdom, and therefore we must raise our sights from mean earthly vanities to eternal verities. Have an eternal perspective. Those that are truly Christ followers have just that. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
With spectacular animation and leading-edge research, Illustra Media's new film, Origin, examines a question that has baffled science for centuries. How did the first life arise at a moment in time when there was no life of any kind? It's common today to hear the claim that simple chemistry without direction or plan explains how life began. But the film Origin exposes the absurdity of such a claim and reveals a molecular universe of extraordinary biological engineering that points clearly to intelligence and mind. Receive Origin on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Something is changing in our cultural portrayal of superheroes. In highly successful films such as Deadpool, Batman vs. Superman, and Suicide Squad, and in popular TV shows such as Lucifer and The Preacher, morally compromised superheroes are willing to lie, steal, and even murder bad guys. How should we respond to the rise of the anti-hero? Other topics include mythicism and the public Jesus of history, logical and biblical defeaters of reincarnation and karma, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Have you ever thought that maybe living things appear to be designed because they are in fact designed by a creator for a purpose? In the book Undeniable, How Biology Confirms Our Intuition That Life is Designed, molecular biologist Douglas Axe argues that the key to understanding our origin is the design intuition. This is the common sense belief held by all humans that any task requiring knowledge in order to accomplish the task can be accomplished only by someone who has that knowledge. For the ingenious task of inventing life, this knower can only be God. Receive Undeniable, How Biology Confirms Our Intuition That Life is Designed as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Atheist evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins says the universe could so easily have remained lifeless. It's an astonishing stroke of luck that we are here. But were we really just incredibly lucky? Illustra Media's new film, Origin, demonstrates it takes far more than luck to account for the more than 8 million species of living organisms on planet Earth. Life on Earth bears every indication of having been designed by a creator for a purpose. Receive the film Origin on DVD as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and all over the world, people are listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. How do they do that? Well, today we live in an age of technology and people have smartphones. All they have to do is they just download the equip.org app, which you can do at equip.org. You download the app and you can listen to the broadcast on your smartphone. You can even listen to archived broadcasts. You can give in a safe, secure fashion all over the world, whether you're in Singapore or Hong Kong, where I was just 2 weekends ago, or whether you're in Cambodia, or whether you're in the United States, Canada, South America, all over the world, you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you don't have the app, it's free. Check it out again on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. Next up is Matt listening in Maryland, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. My question is, I'm just trying to understand in the Old Testament whenever the Lord appeared to people like Moses, Adam, and was in the most holy place in the tabernacle, just trying to get a better understanding of that. Was that the pre-incarnate Jesus? Was there an actual physical spirit that could be seen by Moses, by Adam? Could you kind of fill me in a little bit on how that works?
Yeah, spirits are not physical, but God, who is spirit, can take on physical form. And there are many examples throughout the Old Testament in which you see the angel of Yahweh, which is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, appearing to people. That's called a Christophany. There are also examples of the Father appearing. That would be called a theophany. There are appearances of angels that's called angelophanies. These are theological terms, of course, but they're describing the appearance of God in some kind of a physical manifestation. So when Moses goes up to Mount Sinai, he encounters God, but remember, he does not encounter God in his essence. We cannot know God in his essence. We can certainly know God through his graces, or some would say in his energies. He experiences a manifestation of God. How that manifestation occurred, we do not know. It's very much like, by the way, how we would talk about the economy of God in terms of how we experience God today. We don't experience God in his essence, but in his economy, we experience him. And we can't say that it's the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. We can say that we are experiencing the one triune God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. Now, that does not mean that we cannot speak with a center of consciousness within the Godhead. We can. We can pray to Jesus. We can communicate with the Holy Spirit. We can pray directly to the Father, as Jesus taught us to do. But the ultimate issue that I think a lot of people have to grapple with, and that is, we cannot understand God in his essence. And many people create a God that is far too small and suppose that we can. We simply cannot. What Moses experienced on Mount Sinai is often referred to as the mysterium tremendum et fascinans. In other words, the mystery that causes one to tremble and yet attracts us. Moses not only trembled, as did Isaiah when he caught one glimpse of God, but Moses' face literally took on uncreated energy in such a way that when he came down from the mountain, his face had to be veiled. So I think it's important to realize that what is going on in the Old Testament before the incarnation of Jesus Christ is people are experiencing manifestations of God in various ways. Remember the fire that burned but was not quenched. You mentioned the presence of God, the Shekinah glory in the temple. Think about what happened with Abraham when the Lord and two angels appeared to Abraham there on the plain. What an incredible experience that must have been. But this, again, is a temporary manifestation of God because God does not, in terms of his essence, have physicality. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Teresa. She's listening in San Jose, California. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
You sound wonderful.
Well, I have a question for you. And my name is Theresa, but that's okay.
Theresa, sorry for butchering your name.
That's okay.
It's important.
My question is this. Oh, no, it's okay. My question is this. In the book of Malachi, 3:8-10, it talks about how will a man rob God, yet you rob me with your tithes and offering, you're under curse. And when I studied the book of Malachi, prior to Jesus dying, the priest used to take the money to the storehouse. And in the book of Malachi, the Levitical priest was over the priesthood, and they were allowing other priests to come in. The nation and the people were given bad tithes, and they were the one who was robbing. Because I asked myself this question, how can I, it indicates to me that if I miss my tithing, I'm under a curse. So I compare Deuteronomy 27 and 26, verse 26 with Galatians 3:10. And it says, cursed is any man, you know, who's under the law. And Jesus took the curse out of the law. And so that's my question. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in giving, and I don't think it even stops at a tent for people who can afford it. Pressed down, shaken together, given on a regular basis. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to the Lord what is the Lord. I believe in all of that. But I've always had that question.
Well, I don't know how you can say it any better than you just said it, by the way. That's just a fantastic way of giving us an overview that we can expand on a little bit. I mean, what happened in the Old Testament was people gave. They gave not because there is an absolute necessity to give in and of itself, but rather they gave because in giving, they're demonstrating that they revere, as Moses said, the Lord their God always. So through giving, you are revering the Lord. There's another thing, and you allude to this. In the Old Testament, there are all these precepts and principles that ultimately point to a fulfillment, and that fulfillment is in Jesus Christ. He did what we could not do. I mean, no matter how much we give, we don't give perfectly, because it's not just the amount you give, but it's the intent of the heart as you give. So you just can't do all of it perfectly. Jesus comes, he takes the types and shadows, and he ultimately fulfills them. He doesn't abolish them, he fulfills them, he accomplishes them, and therefore we are released from the curse of the law, for Christ has become a curse for us. But you also very brilliantly talked about the fact in the prologue to your question that there is some parallel between what happened in the Old Testament and what happens today. Because as we give, we're revering the Lord our God always, a universal principle. And we're demonstrating in doing that that we cannot outgive the Lord, that his arm is far longer than our arm. And so we trust not in the arm of flesh, but rather in the arm of God. The New Testament principle, therefore, is not as much tithing, although, as has been well said, tithing can be the training wheels to other things, to giving in general, to stewardship. But that's the point. The point in the New Testament is stewardship, which is that we hold everything with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as he sees fit. We never give in a legalistic, perfunctory way, because then We're doing it for the sight of men rather than for the pleasure of God. And when we give, why are we giving? I was just in Cambodia last weekend, mentioned that at the opening of the show. I had a pocket full of money, or I had both U.S. dollars, which they take there, as well as Cambodian currency. So I had a pocket full of money, my left pocket, that's kind of how I always do it. And there are a lot of people that don't have arms and legs. They're begging in the street. They can hardly move themselves. You see people who are struggling in the worst way. And, you know, my habit is to, empty my pockets. The idea, of course, with many people is that these beggars have handlers and that the beggars don't even get the money themselves oftentimes. And I know, didn't fall off the last turnip truck that came through town, so I'm kind of wise to that, having traveled throughout Asia. But nonetheless, I feel a necessity to give as the Lord leads me. Now, that's just a small thing, but the idea is not to give in order to get. It is not to give because there's some kind of a law that we have to meet, but it's because we want to be pleasing to others. We want to follow the first and second great commandment. You know, there's one great commandment and a second like unto it. The first is to love God. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. So when you see someone in need, you have an opportunity to do something about it, you give. You also give to the God-ordained vehicle for missions, for worshiping God, for oneness, which is the church. So we give because we have been given. So again, stewardship is the New Testament principle. We hold everything with an open hand. And so often we relegate our giving just to, well, our treasure. But it's not just about your treasure. It's about your time and it's about your talent, because we're going to stand before God and give an account for what we did with what we had. Again, we are not bound to the curse of the law. We can't keep the law perfectly. No matter how much we give, we don't do it perfectly. But what we can do is recognize that we have been left here for a purpose, that we are stewards, and that we will be called into account for what we do. The beautiful thing is, and I think you alluded to this as well, is that we are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So even when we stand in the great assize with people from every tongue and language and nation, we will thankfully not be dressed in the filthy self-righteous robes, but the spotless righteous robes of Jesus Christ. So not a righteousness of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Well-articulated question. I love these questions where really the answer is sort of in the question itself. So you helped us all out. Thanks for your call. We're coming up to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. And as we're in the habit of doing these days, the quote of the day. My quote of the day is actually going to be associated with the monologue that I gave vis-a-vis my trip to Cambodia. That's coming up right after the break. And as I mentioned, please stand with our ministry prayerfully and financially, because we simply cannot do what we do without you. It takes a team. Please join the team. Stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I have never seen a greater need, and we still, as a free country, have an opportunity to do things not only in America but around the world to make a difference. So again, stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments.
The issue of origins, Hank Hanegraaff often says, is not just an apologetics issue, it is the apologetics issue, because how you view your origins will ultimately determine how you live your life. That's why for Christians weary of the arguments of scientific materialists, there's good news. Illustra Media's new film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth, combines stunning photography and imagery with rock-solid science and scholarship to show that we are the products of an infinite intelligence beyond human fathoming, and far from accidental and purposeless. Receive Origin on DVD as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. What's left of a theory of origins once it has been conceded that it doesn't explain how things originated? Fact is, chemistry and chance simply cannot account for the origin of biological life. And atheists and agnostics who think that life emerged from blind, undirect natural processes must come to grips with this reality. For Christians eager to defend the rationality of a faith under relentless siege by scientific materialism, don't miss the withering intellectual firepower of Illustra Media's film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although the vast majority of historians and other scholars affirm the historical existence of Jesus of Nazareth, the view that such an individual never existed is gaining popularity in the public arena. Settling the issue is a matter of historical evidence. And beyond question, the evidence of Jesus is the best explanation of this evidence. Other topics include the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit, Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the rise of the comic book anti-hero, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. To know where everything came from is to know where we came from. And where we came from has everything to do with who we are. And who we are has everything to do with how we ought to live. Wise words from molecular biologist and intelligent design theorist Douglas Axe. Find out more about how cutting-edge science demonstrates why our intuition that living things are designed is absolutely correct in Dr. Axe's new book, Undeniable: How Biology Confirms Our Intuition That Life is Designed. Without exaggeration, Undeniable might be considered the best book ever written on intelligent design. Receive the hardcover book, Undeniable, as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Now, let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. In the opening monologue today, I talked about Pol Pot's grand socialist experiment, social engineering, that took the lives of some 2 million people. And by the way, that's only part of the story. I mean, you go to China and you think about the Great Leap Forward between 58 and 62. In that small span of time, 45 million people lost their lives. This was this grand socialist experiment that can be traced all the way back to Karl Marx, 1917. Interestingly enough, then memorialized in song many, many years later by John Lennon, 1971. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Remember the song. It's memorializing this grand socialist experiment. So I was thinking about the quote of the day being a quote that is often attributed to Reagan, although clearly not original to him, which says, in effect, that socialism only works in two places: heaven, where they don't need it, and hell, where they already have it. Again, the quote of the day: socialism works only in two places, heaven, where they don't need it, and hell, where they already have it. Why don't you need it in heaven? Well, you'd be perfected. Today, the problem with this kind of socialist experimentation is that it fails to recognize that the fault line of sin runs directly through the human heart. Let's go back to the phone lines. Next up is Shane, listening in Kansas on Butt Radio. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Hank. My question to you is, when our pets die, do they go to heaven?
Well, we don't know for certain, and it's certainly a question that we ask in our family all the time, because I happen to have a wife and children, and I would say, to a person, they're all animal lovers. In fact, we just had a cat named Roxy die, and my wife and my son Paul were out in the backyard burying the cat, and they were crying, and they're memorializing the cat and so forth. And what can I say? They're cat lovers. And so this question is applicable to so many, many different people around the world. And I would say this: it seems incredible to me that God would banish such wonders, such avant-garde parts of his creation from heaven. And the reason I think it would be incredible to think such a thing is because you see animals in Paradise Lost. Why not in Paradise Restored? And if God resurrected our pets, I think it would be in total keeping with his overwhelming grace and goodness. So while I can't, Shane, answer the question with absolute certainty, because I don't want to shout where the Bible's largely silent, I don't think that there's anything in the Scripture that would preclude it. And I think that there are a lot of hints in Scripture that would point towards us being not only restored, but the wonderful animals that God has created restored as well. That help? Does that help, Shane?
Yeah, thanks.
You kind of get it?
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, good talking to you. Let's, before I go back to the phone lines, let me make a point that I think that is often neglected in this discussion, and that is that scriptures from first to last suggest that animals have souls. A lot of people would say, what? Animals don't have souls, only humans have souls. But I think animals actually do have souls. They're qualitatively different from the soul of a human. And therefore, there's reasonable doubt that an animal soul can survive the death of the body. But there's a metaphysical aspect to animals, just as there are to humans. And again, you can go to Genesis or John in Revelation. They communicate that the Creator endowed animals with souls. And again, different from the soul of a human being. And therefore, there is reasonable doubt that that soul can survive the death of the body. However, God can recreate pets just as he can recreate anything. That's certainly in keeping with God's providence, power, and certainly maybe even his provision for people like Shane, who obviously is an animal lover, just like my wife and kids are animal lovers. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Lane in Memphis, Tennessee. Lane's listening on Butt Radio. Hi.
Hi, Hank. First-time caller. In John 14:12, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." Now, my question is, in today's world, in my Christian life, what does that phrase, greater works than these, mean to me?
Well, let me say first what it can't mean. Christ could not have meant greater miracles, because who has been able to raise someone from the dead, someone that has been dead for 4 days, like Lazarus was dead? the context of John 14 is not works as seen in John chapter 5, but it really has to do with salvation and resurrection from the dead to eternal life. So I think what is in view here is that rather than being able to do greater works than Jesus Christ did, who is greater than Christ, who can do greater things than Jesus Christ did? He had the power to lay down his life and take it up again. The greater idea here is that the apostles would not necessarily feed 5,000 physically or raise people from the dead, but they would feed thousands, millions spiritually. And through the anointing of the Spirit, Peter, with one message, therefore, was empowered to do something that was absolutely extraordinary. 3,000 people, and Peter didn't even have a megaphone. 3,000 people rushed their way to Calvary. And then later another 5,000, and then the church really began to grow and to multiply. So again, through the anointing of the Spirit, Peter was able to do something that is far greater than turning water into wine. He fed millions with the gospel so that they thirst no more. I think that's what the context dictates within this passage and within, I think, the greater panoply of Scripture and in our own common sense. I mean, not even Benny Hinn, who claims to have raised a lot of people from the dead, has actually done so. When I actually started checking out the details, I found out that the details pointed to the fact that it was a story, not an actual account. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to David in Fresno, California, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, David.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, how's it going, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, I had a question. You know, as October 31st passed and November 1st passed, what was your thought on believers looking back and remembering like Polycarp, Athanasius, and Thomas Aquinas and people like of that magnitude?
I think it's absolutely wonderful. I mean, I think that's exactly what we ought to do. We ought to look back at the great cloud of witnesses that has gone on before. Because when we do, their motivation for us to live the Christian faith out. I mean, you think about some of the great saints like Polycarp. He was 86 years old when he was found by the Roman soldiers and he was brought to trial. The trial was not a long trial in a court. It was simply confess Christ and you die. If you don't deny Jesus Christ, the fire is next for you. And Polycarp said, 86 years have I served him. Am I going to deny the one who gave me life, eternal life? He said, I might experience fire for a few moments, but there's an eternal fire that you can escape. He's talking about the horror of hell. And so he willingly went to his death. I mean, thinking about saints like that is absolutely glorious. And we're taught to do that, as I said, in the great Faith Hall of Fame, which precedes Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 11. So we remember those. They're icons for us, as it were. We venerate them. We don't worship them, but we venerate them because they've given us a great example to follow. It's like a son following in the footsteps of his father. If his father was a righteous man and he wants to follow in the footsteps of his father, we think that's a wonderful thing. So ultimately, we look unto Jesus Christ, but venerating the saints, I think, is a wonderful tradition. I think all too often, we're historically illiterate in so many different ways. I mean, I talk to people about what I was talking about in the opening monologue, Pol Pot and the killing fields of Cambodia. I mean, this is recent history. So I was with a survivor just this weekend, Chum May. Actually sitting with him, holding his hand, talking to him, a Buddhist. He was one of the survivors of the largest detention centers, and he's still alive today. So this recent history, but you talk to people about this, and they can't remember this recent history. And so they're historically illiterate. And I think when you venerate the saints, what it does is it allows you to go back to the early church fathers. My wife is a big fan of doing that. She reads the early church fathers. Why? Because there are examples in so many different ways to us today on how we ought to live out the Christian life, not by might, nor by power, but by His Spirit. Well, we're almost out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'm going to be beating this drum a little bit for the rest of the year, because we're hoping, as always, to close out the year in a positive fashion. We do what we do on faith. Oftentimes the bills come in, the money isn't there. I just have to let our contingency know that this is not a solo operation. You might hear my voice, but there are a lot of people behind the scenes that make this ministry a possibility. The radio broadcast is just the tip of the spear in terms of what we're doing around the world. And so we're asking people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Do remember to ask for a resource of the month, because it's our way of equipping you. This one is a beauty: Unlocking the Mystery of Life Origin. You know, we live in a day in which you can make these films with computer animation. I mean, it's just spectacular what you see in this film, and it really unlocks the mystery of life, and you can no longer be a scientist. You know, scientism is dead. Once you see this, you realize that there is a creator. Out of time. See you right back here tomorrow with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. The new Illustra Media film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth, transcends science to touch the heart and mind of anyone who has ever pondered the deepest mystery of human experience. Where did we come from, and why are we here? As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or just visit online at equip.org. Equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Have you ever thought that maybe living things appear to be designed because they are in fact designed by a creator for a purpose? In the book Undeniable: How Biology Confirms Our Intuition That Life is Designed, molecular biologist Douglas Axe argues that the key to understanding our origin is the design intuition. This is the common sense belief held by all humans that any task requiring knowledge in order to accomplish the task can be accomplished only by someone who has that knowledge. For the ingenious task of inventing life, this knower can only be God. Receive Undeniable: How Biology Confirms Our Intuition That Life is Designed as our thanks for your gift.
Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.